The Nutcracker, Act 1. It was Christmas Eve and Dr. Stahlbaum was holding a party. One by one the guests arrived, shaking snow from their shoes before stepping into the warm, welcoming house. Soon everyone was laughing and talking while the children danced and played in front of a magnificent Christmas tree. The last guest to arrive was an old man in a heavy black cloak. His strange clothes and craggy face frightened some of the children. As he came into the room, they stopped dancing and rushed over to hide behind their parents. The old man was Drosselmeyer, a good friend of Dr. Stahlbaum's, and a godfather to his two children, Clara and Fritz.
"Don't be afraid, children," said Drosselmeyer gently. "Just look what I have brought to show you."
Next page. Proudly, Drosselmeyer revealed two life-size mechanical dolls. The children watched eagerly as he wound them up both up, and they jerkily came to life. One was a pretty pink doll with long flowing hair, which twirled gracefully around and around, delighting Clara and her friends. The other, a brightly painted Harlequin doll, jumped up and down energetically. The children beamed at Drosselmeyer, no longer afraid. When the dolls had finished dancing and the children were playing again, Drosselmeyer beckoned Clara and Fritz.
"I've made something very special for you," he said.
Reaching into his bag, he pulled out a strange wooden doll dressed as a soldier.
It is a nut dragon.
Nut dragon? Did I say nut dragon?
Yes.
"It's a nutcracker doll. You can crack nuts in its mouth," he explained.
Taking a nut from a bowl, he crushed it between the soldier's jaws. Clara's eyes sparkled as she took the doll from him. She held it at arm's length to admire. Then she clutched it to her as she spun around. "It's beautiful. Thank you, Godfather." Fritz was jealous and snatched it from her.
"I want a turn," he said,
grabbing the largest nut he could find and forcing it into the doll's mouth.
"Please don't, Fritz, that nut is too big," cried Clara.
But he wouldn't listen, and the nutcracker broke in half. Fritz dropped it and darted away. With tears in her eyes, Clara picked up the pieces and handed them to her godfather.
"Don't worry, my dear," he said. "I'll soon have this mended."
The evening sped by. All too soon the party drew to an end. That night, Clara couldn't sleep. As the clock struck midnight, she crept downstairs to see if she could find the nutcracker doll. The room looked eerie in the dark, and Clara trembled as she tiptoed up around it. Her doll lay in front of the Christmas tree. As she bent down to pick it up, something incredible happened. The tree began to grow. It grew taller and taller until it brushed the ceiling. Then Clara heard a scratching sound behind her and spun around. Huge, mean-looking mice, each one as big as Fritz, were scampering out of the corners, swishing their tails and twitching their noses.
"Help!" Clara screamed.
Suddenly, the nutcracker doll sprang to life to protect her. Clara was so shocked she stared in amazement. Before she could speak, toy soldiers began marching out of Fritz's toy box and forming rows behind the nutcracker. Some were wheeling out cannons.
"Prepare for battle," cried the nutcracker.
Next page. As the mice crept closer, the soldiers began to fire. Soon, every mouse and soldier was locked in a battle, slashing their swords to and fro. One by one they fell wounded to the floor. Then out of the shadows sprang an even meaner mouse with a sneer on his face. He wore a crown and had a black patch over one eye.
"That's the Mouse King," whispered the nutcracker, jumping firmly in front of Clara.
"Hand over the girl,"
bellowed the Mouse King.
"Never,"
the nutcracker replied.
"Then you must die,"
jeered the Mouse King, thrusting his sword forward. The Nutcracker fought bravely, but he was neither quick enough nor strong enough to hold back the Mouse King. Soon he was backed into a corner.
Why does he want the girl?
I don't know why he wants to.
To kill her?
I don't know, maybe.
I think it's...
No. Clara thought fast. A few more seconds and her friend would be dead. She took off her shoe and hurled it as hard as she could at the Mouse King's head. He slumped to the ground, unconscious. Clara was so overcome with shock and relief that she fainted. When Clara woke up, all the mice and soldiers had vanished. The Nutcracker stood before her, but he no longer resembled a strange-looking doll. He had been transformed into a handsome prince. Clara smiled shyly.
Thank you for saving my life.
Oh, sorry, I got the voice wrong.
Thank you for saving my life, the prince said with a bow. Please let me repay your bravery. Come with me to my homeland as my special guest.
As he spoke, the walls of the house began to fade, and a snowy forest grew up around them. The snow was so heavy that the trees looked as if they had been coated in thick white icing. The prince took Clara's hand as they weaved in and out of the trees, the snow crunching under their feet.
Don't worry, it's not far away, he promised.
Clara looked up and saw huge snowflakes begin to fall from the night sky. You saw huge snowflakes yesterday, didn't you, Amelia?
Yes.
They were really, really big, weren't they?
Not very big, otherwise they would fall and make a big rolling snowballing in the garden.
Yeah, wouldn't it be funny if a snowflake was so big it fell down and it landed in your garden and as the body of a snowman, and then a slightly smaller snowflake fell down and that landed and it became the head. And then you have a snowman already in the garden.
But a too big snowman because it has a very fat body because it's very big.
Right, next page. No, not next page. Where did we get to? The prince took Clara's hand as they weaved in and out of the trees, snow crunching under their feet.
Don't worry, it's not far away, he promised.
Clara looked up and saw huge snowflakes begin to fall from the night sky. As they neared the ground, the snowflakes changed into dancing ice fairies. She paused to watch their flitting movements, each perfectly in time with the others. Wow, they turned into fairies, Maeve. Isn't that amazing, Amelia?
Yeah.
Should we go to the next page?
I don't know if they have wings.
Fairies without wings.
Fairies do have wings, though.
Yeah, good. Act 2. When the pair reached the edge of the forest, Clara gazed in amazement at the sights before her. Wherever she turned, everything looked good enough to eat. The trees were giant lollipops. The rivers flowed with chocolate. Oh, wow. And the houses were made of gingerbread. Do you like gingerbread?
Yes. And
Mummy doesn't like gingerbread, does she?
No.
No, she doesn't like ginger. Where would Mummy live if there were houses were made of gingerbread? She'd just have to not eat the house.
She does not have...
You don't have to eat your house, do you, Amelia?
She loved it, and she kept eating the house.
Mm-hmm.
Then she would have to live in a normal house or a mud house for her to eat mud. Ugh, I don't like eating mud.
Where are we? Clara asked in a stunned whisper. Oh, sorry, I didn't do a stunned whisper there.
Where are we?
Clara asked in a stunned whisper.
This is my homeland, the land of sweets, replied the prince with a smile.
Clara wanted to taste everything around her.
There's no time for that,
the prince insisted, dragging her away from a marshmallow toadstool.
I want to introduce you to someone very special indeed.
They hurried on over jelly bean cobbles until they reached a pink palace made of sugar candy.
I love sugar.
As they began to climb the palace steps, a fanfare sounded. Can you do a fanfare? Oh, good, Amelia.
I did do this.
Try again.
I need to do that, but I can't do it.
Okay.
Do you know, Daddy, I love those.
Okay, what, those pink wafer things?
Yeah.
We've got some downstairs. A fanfare sounded and pink lemonade sprouted dramatically from ornate fountains. At the top of the steps stood a beautiful lady wearing the prettiest lace dress Clara had ever seen, made of delicate spun sugar.
Sugar.
Can you imagine if you had a dress made out of sugar?
Sugar?
Henry would just come and eat it, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
And then you'd be standing in your knick-knicks. And then we'd have to get you another dress. And that would be made out of...
No.
No?
No, if my dress was made out of gingerbread...
Gingerbread?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. If my dress was made out of sugar and my knickknacks were made out of sugar, Harry would eat my knickknacks and
oh, no, dress. Yuck. Yeah. No, we have to make him out of something else that he doesn't eat. What doesn't Henry eat?
he doesn't eat mud.
Mud. You can't have knickers made out of mud. You silly Billy. No, what about Brussels sprouts? He doesn't like Brussels sprouts, does he? Oh, cabbage.
I don't think so.
Right, should we read a bit more story?
Yeah.
Okay.
How about
we listen to the rest of the story?
Okay.
Okay. Clara, please allow me to introduce you to the Sugar Plum Fairy, said the prince. Oh, excuse me. Well, welcome, my dear, said the Sugar Plum Fairy in a soft, sweet voice. Oh, I've got to write that down. It's wonderful to have you have visitors. She wanted to know the reason for their unexpected visit. But before Clara could begin, the prince launched into the story. He described Clara's bravery and their defeat of the evil Mouse King. This calls for a celebration, cried the Sugar Plum Fairy. With a twirl, she led them into a grand room, where tables stood laden with cakes, cookies and delicious chocolates.
And chocolate!
Everyone had sat down. An orchestra began to play. The music was dramatic, and so was the dancing. A Spanish couple, dressed in traditional costume, spun around for the dance of chocolate.
The hand is chocolate.
The sound of castanets snapping rhythmically around them.
What?
Next came the exotic dance of coffee, which was elegantly performed by an Arabian princess.
Dresses made out of chocolate. If Henry was wearing a candy shirt and a candy trousers, then I would actually eat it, and then he'll just be wearing his pants.
Oh no!
And if his hair was chocolate,
his hair.
If it was, then I would heat his hair up.
They would be bald.
They had no hair, do they?
Right, where were we?
And the pooey knickers.
Oh, the Arabian princess
and the pooey
was dancing coffee dance. Ah, her smooth, swirling movements blended beautifully with the soothing music.
Cake.
The third dancer had come all the way from China to entertain everyone with his tea dance. He finished with a sweeping bow to Clara and the Sugar Plum Fairy. The evening continued with dance after dance.
That
each one represented something good to eat or drink with carefully chosen music and movements. Clara had never seen such a wonderful display. I wish that evening would never come to an end, she whispered in the prince's ear. Finally came two very different dances. A group of ballerinas, each one dressed as a radiant flower, delicately performed a slow waltz for Clara. Oh, the waltz of the flowers.
They have dresses like...
Their arms unfolded gracefully like the petals of a flower blooming. They weaved in and out of each other before finally finishing in a beautiful bouquet.
Okay.
Did you make a funny smell, Amelia?
I farted.
The very last
answer. I farted in your bottom.
The very last dance of all was the one was reserved for the Sugar Plum Fairy and the Prince. Their graceful steps almost moved Clara to tears.
Why?
Because it was such a beautiful dance. As the final dance ended, Clara knew that it was soon time to return to her home. She rushed over and kissed the Sugar Plum Fairy, thanking her over and over for making her feel so welcome in the land of sweets. You will always be welcome here, my dear, the Sugar Plum Fairy replied. After thanking each and every dancer, Clara turned to the prince. Is it time for us to say goodbye too? She asked quietly. The prince paused before answering with a nod. Clara reached up and hugged him, closing her eyes tightly. When Clara opened her eyes again, she was no longer in the land of sweets. She was back in her own home, lying under the Christmas tree, with her Nutcracker doll tucked under one arm. The first rays of morning sunlight were bouncing in through the window, melting on the ice on the window ledge. It wasn't just a dream, was it? Clara murmured, shaking her Nutcracker doll. But the doll simply stared back and said nothing.
Have you got my time?
That's the end of the story.
Have you got my time?
No, that's long enough, isn't it?
Wow, wow, wow.
Say goodnight, Audio Boo.
Goodbye, Audio Boo!
Sweet dreams.
Sweet dreams, Benny Boys. 1996. Hope you have good sweet dreams in your nighty. Naughty.